Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. Hello and welcome to a much more upbeat version of the Supercoach Co-Captains this week. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, back from Perth, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Last week was not organised. We're a lot more organised this week, and what a fucking week we've had, Dano. Absolute carnage. There'll be teams, and we'll get into it, but there'll be teams that are looking at 3, 4, maybe even 5 primos out this week, which is kind of wild.
Yeah,
I might be in the minority here, but I actually kind of like when this sort of shit happens because it makes it a little bit fun. And obviously, it's not fun if you're copping 4 of those guys. But we've had a kind of vanilla, boring year where we haven't had a lot of this carnage, so it kind of separates the men from the boys.
Yeah, and can I just make reference to something I said a fair few weeks ago when people were going through all their trades, and I said we've been lucky with so far the clean run. And something's going to happen, and we've finally got it upcoming to round 18. So, holy shit.
Yeah. So, we might finally see some separation in the rankings as well because there's very little separating a huge chunk of the Supercoach community. So, it should be fun, and we're here to try and help you through it if you have at least 1 or 2 trades left. I don't know.
Yeah. This guy right here has 7. Anyway, we'll go into the group winner for last week, and what a fucking score of 2,720. Who was it, Paddo, and who did they have?
So it was Kevin, a repeat winner with his team, Raging Bonner. We do love that team name. We say it every time. 2,720, as you said. The third overall ranked for the week, mind you, if you don't mind. So absolutely huge effort there, Kevin. Yeah. Couple of interesting pieces in his team. So Trent Rivers in defense got a nice 143, nice POD. We did float him a few weeks ago as an option that since Petrarca went down with that midfield move. Harry Sheasel in defense as well. There's a sort of 2 big scorers in there. The midfield, though, Dano, this is fucking huge. So Bontempelli, Lockie Neal, Josh Dunkley as captain. Cool. So miss Lockie Neal there, but Dunkley captain. You can't complain about a 140, especially you, Dano. Zach Butters, Zach Merritt, the 2 Zachs doing very well for him there. The interesting thing is that doesn't have Rosie, who went big on the weekend. English and Gorn in ruck, but he has Jordan Sweet to cover, so not too bad for this week. Sean Manor got 118 for him on the bench, and he loopholed it. Not many people did. I got the score on my bench as well. Couldn't loophole it in, so I had to see that on my bench, Dano. Could have meant my already really high score could have been a bit better, but anyway, that doesn't matter. Nice forward line too. Jai Cole, Luke Jackson, some solo rucking there. Flanders, Heaney, Zorko, everyone has those. Very, very nicely done, Kevin. It'd be interesting to see what he does with that forward line though, Dano, because you've got Tholstrup and Manor. I mean, those two together might be enough to just a loophole as your F6 for the rest of the year.
Well, he does have some issues though, Paddo, because he's got Heaney out for a week, so Manor will get the gig up there. But anyway, we'll go into the injuries and suspensions because there's a fuck ton. So we'll start off, Isaac Rankin suspended for 4 weeks. Dumb fuckery. Do you trade him?
Yeah, I just want to say everyone have a shot and as we get into this because it's not good. I think 4 weeks you got to trade. There's only 7 weeks to go, Dano.
Correct.
Unless you only play for leagues and you're sitting fine in your league, so you've sewed up top, like a top 4 position or whatever, I think then you're fine. But if you're playing rank, I don't think you can. Now, I do have an idea, though, Dano, and I just want to float this out to people. Geelong played on Friday night this week, the very first game of the round, and he has a pretty decent matchup against Collingwood, who kind of let the other team do as they please. So I think it's worth seeing how Manor scores first before you decide what to do with Isaac Rankin, assuming you have Manor. What is his ownership, by the way? It just quickly check that one. So he's still in 31% of teams. So if you do have Mana on your bench, I would be looping that and just seeing what he scores on Friday night. If it's anything less than a sort of 75 to 80, I think you pull the trigger. If you get your 75 or 80, I think you're happy with that, Dano. And maybe you just hold rank in a week and you loophole again next week. And if you can get a couple of 80-odd scores out of Mana, all of a sudden you're only looking at 2 weeks of ranking out.
Yeah,
and Rankin didn't score that too much more than that. I mean, Mana scored more than Rankin on the weekend. So,
yeah,
I just think, yeah, see what happens on Friday night and then go from there. But we'll give you plenty of great trading options later on in the pod.
Well, considering that we're talking about forwards, I'm going to quickly jump to Isaac Heaney. So he got the suspension for 1 week. He is appealing to the appeals board. Does he get off? I don't know. I reckon he should. I reckon it was absolute bullshit, but that's something that I could rant on about for 30 minutes to an hour. But if you got Heaney and Rankin, I don't mind the loophole option for Mana, but some people might struggle with even fielding two rookies.
I mean, surely most teams have Dowling and or Mana to help with that.
But
right,
people do have them, obviously, in their mids. But at the same time, Dowling might not even play this week.
Surely he plays.
Dowling might be getting the drop, mate. So it's going to be a real wait and see for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention Heaney then just because of we were talking about the forwards. Max Gawn, ankle, 2 to 3 weeks. And then I'm hearing some saying 4 weeks. Like, what the fuck? Surely you hold. And you just do like a Kruger or whoever has fucking, what's his name from Fremantle? Luke Jackson. You can loop him through.
Yeah, he's chipped the bottom of his femur. So for Max Gawn to come out and say, oh, I'm looking to only miss one or two, I think even he's a bit crazy with that. I think it depends on your cover. If you can cover him, even if it is with a Kruger type, I think you do that. If you don't have the cover, I think it has to be a trade.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree there. Here's one that you don't necessarily have to trade straight away, and you could do the rank
yes, it play. Is.
With Duke Miller. So you can literally do the same thing with Mana for Duke because he's not going to drop in price.
Yeah, the difference is Rankin is a top six in his line, and I've been looking for a reason to trade Duke Miller for the longest time.
There it is.
He could have been on the chopping block even without getting injured this week.
Yeah.
For me, and that's using my final trade.
Yeah, I've actually got an interesting play with Took, and you're going to think I'm crazy for it later, but I'll discuss it later. Tom De Koning, ankle test. Trying to find an excuse for why he got beaten in majorly in the second half against the Giants by Briggs, who discovered that he's actually a strong fucker. He apparently forgot.
It's actually got a nice three-round average there, Dano. Yeah, I think De Koning will play. I think is a nice downgrade option from Gawn. Is it even a downgrade anymore? It might not even be a downgrade.
No, I think it's almost sideways.
Yeah, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. Jeremy McGovern, aka McLovin. Is it a punctured lung or?
I think it's a broken rib and a punctured lung.
Yeah, he wasn't allowed they on wouldn't, the plane.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him fly back to Perth from Melbourne. He has jumped in a car and is doing the 4-day drive from Melbourne to Perth in the hope of playing in what's his face's last game.
Yeah.
On the injury report, he's listed as 1 week. So I doubt he plays.
Yep. Can I just touch something with the Simo debacle?
Yeah.
You've probably seen my rant already. But basically, When Simo basted that reporter and the West Australian guys are coming out and saying, hey, you can't scrutinise our journalists, blah, blah, blah. You can't, mental health is a big thing, blah, blah, blah. We're going to be blocking anyone that's going to be making comments about him because he's feeling sad because he got baked by Simo. Yeah, the West Australian also goes, let's be relentless at Adam Simpson's mental health, even after he asked us not to and did that fucking huge ass spread in the back of, or not even the back, the front page of the West Australian. They're fuckwits.
Yeah, the media are fucked.
It's just the West Australian. Honestly, blocking both of those reporters, they're fuckwits. Good riddance. I know a lot of people are because, yeah, they're just dickheads. Gutter journalism. Anyway, sorry, I had to go off on a mini rant there because I just pissed me off. Back to Supercoach relevant shit. Sean Darcy, who is up in WA, concussed. So, Lukey Jackson time again, Paddo.
Yeah, coming at a really good time for those Livingston owners with Jackson in your forward line. If you're rolling with a Gorn, it's a really easy replacement there. And hopefully you've got a nice Manor or Dowling or Simpkin type on your bench that you can cover. And then obviously you can hold Gorn. But yeah, we'll have a nice random spike score while we should on the weekend from Jackson. So that is nice for owners. It's been a little bit of a frustrating own, but he's still averaging 99. That'll go up over 100, you would assume, this weekend. Averaging about 115 in his last two against Hawthorn as well. So hopefully a nice big score there. It's just coming every few weeks for him, which is a bit frustrating, but yeah, should get a nice spike score this week as a result of Sean Darcy missing.
Yep, and then we got Marcus Wintager. He is hamstrung 4 to 6 weeks out. So it's good for opposition players because, you know, no tag. They got rid of Jack Bytel to Collingwood and whatnot as well. So, but Sinclair owners got to be a little bit, careful, Paddo.
Yeah, I'm very frustrating. So Sinclair had 3 games in a row where he had less than 10% CBAs. And in that time, scored 147, 135 and 143. So I brought him in last week, Dano, all for him to get 78% CBAs against the Swans and score 110, which 110 is fine, but I paid 620K for Jack Sinclair, the halfback, not the midfielder. But we'll see what they do with that midfield setup. Hopefully they get some guys back. I know they had Dow out injured. Hopefully he's back soon. He's listed as a test, and Brad Crouch isn't coming back anytime soon, I don't think. So hopefully Dow comes in to replace Windhager and it lets Sinclair go back to the halfback line because they actually accidentally discovered a really good midfielder on the weekend, which we will get into later.
Yep. We'll go into trade-ins now, Paddo, because we're fucking off all of the rookies and whatnot, realistically. I mean, you got Humphreys and them, but everyone,
There are some great rookies on the bubble, but we don't need to talk about them.
Yeah, I just said Humphreys for one. But anyway, defensive trade-ins. So we'll start with Jordan Ridley at 515K, 110 average, 14% owned, 104 break-even. Looked pretty good with Kelly coming back into the side and playing more of a lockdown, so freeing the Riddler up a bit there, Paddo. What do you like? Would you trade him in? 515K is pretty fucking good.
I think it's a great price. I was a bit worried, obviously, last week. Was that when they had Carlton? No, Richmond played Carlton. I think he had a couple of lockdown jobs in a row just because Kelly was out. But as soon as I saw Kelly come back in, I thought you beaut because he is a lockdown guy. And it really freed up Jordan Ridley to play the Seagull role once again. He had 25 touches and 15 marks, which is the Luke Ryan role from a month ago when you traded him in, Dano. So, I think Ridley is great value at 515K. And if you're looking for a defender, I think Ridley is your guy.
Yeah, fair. Fuck Luke Ryan. Colby McKercher, 444K, 81 average, 19% owned, 31 break even. Now, Paddo, I'm going to let you talk about him, but how many times is too many times to trade out and in the same fucking player?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I've only traded him out once after starting him, but it would be a frustrating one. But if you are looking at a 444,000 guy with a 3-round average of 120 in the role that he's going to play for the rest of the year, especially if Fisher doesn't even make it back into the team, Dano. They've got a couple of defenders coming back this week, including Dawson, who might be a little clutch return this week, and Griffin Logue as well. That gives Colby Rocha – Rich? Fuck me. Colby McKercher full reins in that backline to do as he pleases, as he did on the weekend on his way to, what was it, 130 odd?
Yeah.
134.
Yep. Yeah, look,
it's just a shit matchup this week.
100% of the kick-ins. I honestly think, by the sounds of it, Fish might not get back in.
Yeah, so if they come out and say that McKerch is preferred to Fisher, I almost think McKerch is pretty close to must-have at the price, even if that means as a bench guy and you just move someone. If you know someone's going to get a tag, maybe you could just loophole and have a look and get McKerch on field. I think he's going to score really well for the rest of the year. Sometimes you've got to swallow your pride. If you've traded him in, then out, then in, then out, like, it's frustrating. But at this price, I know he's a kid, but fuck me. Like, this guy was incredible on the weekend. The way he dashes off half back, the way he finds targets, it's like what Fisher wants to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't have said it any better. The only problem is we then lose a forward in Fisher, which would suck, but.
He was gone last week.
Yeah, I know. I know. anyway, let's move on. Trent Rivers, 498K, 86 average, 1% owned. Massive POD, well, under 1%. And then 86 break even. He has a three-round average of 111, Pato. Looking fucking good.
He does, yeah. And they're the three games that he's played in this new midfield role. That also includes a 58 against Brisbane, which is obviously a stinker, but Melbourne had a stinker and they got pumped by Brisbane. So you look at his two home games that he's played in this role, 131 and 143. Now, one could easily say that's against North Melbourne and West Coast, which, fair call. but he ain't getting tagged. Like, Clary is getting the tag. So, and I don't know what's happened to Jack Viney, but he is a shadow of his former self. So
yeah.
Rivers is almost the main guy in there now. And I can see another argument where having Gorn out for the next few weeks makes him a little bit less attractive, which, yeah, I get it. But I think Rivers will be fine as a nice POD, still priced at under 500,000. Break even of 86, so it's not super high priority if you want him in. But, yeah, I think he's a really good option. And POD territory.
The only problem is Maxi Gorn being out.
Yep, I said that.
Yeah, so, yeah, shit times. But like your gonads and your kahunas if you fucking do bring him in. Anyway, the one that Pato did not want to put on the run sheet, Lachie Whitfield, 558K.
He's finally made it on the run sheet.
104 average, 9% owned, booyah, and 97 break even, five-round average of 114. Get it fucking up, your Pato. Richmond this week, get it fucking up, your Pato.
So if you look at the season as a whole, he's only had four scores under 90. Under 100.
Oh, I know.
Which is obviously pretty good. He's a pretty good price. The five-round average is obviously really attractive at 114. Plays Richmond this week and then Gold Coast, who are two teams that will let him do whatever the fuck he wants.
VC territory.
Absolutely. How did you read my mind? he will be mentioned. The thing is, he's putting out big stats and only getting sort of 110, 120 off like 35, 40 touches, which it would be frustrating as an owner, but it's actually been really consistent and you know what you're kind of going to get from him. And sometimes that's good.
Yep, I agree. I've had him for ages, so I've been waiting for you to bite your pride swallow your pride and fucking put him in. Next one. This is an interesting one, Pato, and I never thought I'd say this about this bloke, but Tom Stewart, 491K, 95 average, 21% owned, 71 break even. Now, he's been a shadow of his former self, but why are we now looking at even considering Tom Stewart at 491K?
So the last 2 weeks, he's gone and played a CBA role, which is very, very interesting. Mm. We've seen it in patches before where they'll move him in there in like a fourth quarter that they need some momentum, and he's done really well in those sort of games. But we've never seen two games in a row of that. And he scored 97 and 115, which obviously isn't like setting the world on fire. The way Geelong have been playing, though, like they don't have these spike scores at all this season, the way they're playing. Like they just spread their points out really evenly. But 491K for a guy like Tom Stewart in this role, I think is really good. And he has arguably probably the second easiest midfield matchup in the whole league this week, don't
I? Yeah, so things to consider. We got these are like the budget options, and I never thought again I'd say that Tom Stewart would be a budget option. But anyway.
I just also want to add that Dano, so he's in 21% of teams, but only 15% of teams in the top 1%. So bringing him in is actually a really good like point of difference if you're looking to rise up the rankings. And, yeah, obviously a proven performer in defense. And if the role changes back to defense, like you still know he's going to be fine. Like he's still going to be okay. Obviously, we want the CBA role to continue if you're bringing him in.
Yep. Now, this one is one that I floated the idea of after he played against his brother, and that's Sam De Koning, 417K, 69 average, 1.6% of teams, 51 break even. So playing in the ruck, and whether or not Chris Scott was like, yep, okay, we were just going to trial against Tom De Koning or whatnot. He said that this was on the cards for a while and it just happened to be against his brother. And since then, he's actually scored really fucking well in the ruck. So it begs the question, will he stay there, Paddo? Because honestly, I think given the rise of Tom, I reckon they should just give it to Sam and ride the season out with him in ruck. And if he does, he's got a 3-round average of 108.
Yeah, really, really performing well in the ruck. So he had a 64 against Essendon. It's worth noting that they are actually really restrictive in the ruck line. So don't stress too much about that. But he had 135 and 125 against Carlton and Hawthorn respectively. So obviously really, really great scores in the ruck. He's 417K, which is really good. This, I must say, is absolute balls-to-the-wall stuff. This is a massive risk, a massive gamble. Geelong changed roles for their guys so often, like almost more than I change my underwear. So that's where you've really got to weigh up your risk profile. If you have decent cover on your bench, I don't hate Sam De Koning if you need a defender. The problem is he could very well go back to a defensive role. And in that role, he has scores of 44, 45, 27, 34, like it's real egg on your face sort of shit there. But if the role in the ruck sticks, then Sam De Koning could be a fucking bargain.
Yeah, 100% agree. We'll move on to the midfield now. Just note, if you've got Tuke Miller, if you can get one of the really fucking top dogs in the midfield line in one trade, we encourage to do that. But what we're going to discuss is guys under 600K, just as like a budget sort of option, even though...
No, even two. Yeah. Even less than that, because technically Butters and Merritt are both under 600K, and they'd obviously be above all of these guys. But we're looking at that sort of 580-ish mark, because I think Tuke's 540 or something, 550, something like that.
He's 480. Yeah. Oof. There is a bloke that I actually want to mention that's not on the run sheet, and that's the one that I said you're probably going to call me crazy for.
All right, let's get started.
But I won't start with him. I'll finish with him. It's almost a sideways. Cool. Okay, so Connor Rosie to start with, 495K, 99 average, 19% owned, 14 break-even, 3-round average of 127. Yeah, and Pat, I just wanted to point out the 3 weeks that he's owned him has been the average of 127. Ha, 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 fuck you. I got him cheap too. he's still a fucking awesome price. So... You're paying for a bloke that would normally be priced at the 620 range at 495. True.
We started off at 600K, and that's his wheelhouse. And then injuries hit early in the year after he was averaging 116. So that's what you can expect from him when healthy, and he's healthy. If you haven't seen enough already, like 168 against the Dogs on the weekend, him and Butters just ran the fucking show against who I think is one of the better midfields in the comp. If you don't mind, Dano, his next two teams are against the two teams that will refuse to tag in the midfield unless you have a captain on one of their guys, Dano, which was really fucking random that Jack Graham tagged for the first time in 7 years on the weekend. But yeah, really, really juicy match ups in the next two, even if you ignore the last three. So Connor Rosie is option 1, 2, and 3 if you don't have him and you are looking to get rid of Tuke Miller.
Yeah. Sam Walsh, 561K, 111 average, 41% owned, 106 break even. Not really a POD, but decent run home. Only problem is he can get tagged, Pato.
He can. The Dogs won't tag him. North, I don't even think we'll tag him. I don't think Phillips can keep up with him. Port Adelaide have been conceding some big-ish scores. Collingwood don't tag. Hawthorn tag a little bit, but then West Coast and St Kilda to round out the year. So the run home is really good. This is who I'm looking at bringing in for Tuk Miller.
Sam Walsh?
Yeah.
What about Patrick Cripps at 573K, 110 average, 7% owned?
So I'm about 3K short.
Oh, 42 break even.
Yeah, Cripps would be above Walsh for me if I could get to him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Look, now he's got a sniff that he can win the Brownlow. I reckon we're going to see some 150-plus scores to run home.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. I wouldn't mind seeing his run home in his Brownlow year. If I just quickly look that up while we are live recording.
Beautiful stuff.
Was it 2022? So his last five rounds of that year were 118, 146, 104, 117, and 121.
That's solid.
Yeah, I think Cripps is a really great option. They're also fighting for that top eight position as well, which plays into it, I think. So I think Cripps is a really great option, and he's not your first choice tag option either.
Oh, nah. We got a Noah Anderson, 567K, 109 average, 5% owned, 95 break even. So I think he's the bloke that will get tagged now that Tuke's out, because they were tagging Tuke a fair bit. So, yeah, I'm a bit wary on him. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so as soon as lockout opened up, Noah Anderson was the first name I gravitated to, because I've been really big on him for the last month or so. If you listen every week, you'll know how big I am on Noah Anderson. But as I've mentioned in the run sheet there, Dono, I worry that with Tuke out, Noah Anderson becomes tag target number one. What I will say is that maybe Flanders becomes the option instead.
Maybe. The ton run might come to an end.
It might.
Yeah.
But Port Adelaide might also just lock down and row, who I'm sure is the guy that you're talking about.
Yes. So I'm just going to bring him up because I think that this is actually the time for when Rao will bounce back. So no Tuke. His last four rounds have been 82, 82, 79, 79. But we forget when he started the season, he went 137, 155, 99, 129, 135, 126, 136. So I think that this is going to snap Rao back into form, Tuke being out.
Yeah, I almost put him in, but there's so much negativity around how he's been playing. I thought people would think it'd be crazy. I don't think it's crazy, Dana. I don't mind it. Sometimes in Supercoach, you've got to zag when other people are zigging. And
fuck oath. The amount of
people
times,
will be trading Raoul out, and just imagine people trading him in and it coming good.
The amount of times I've suggested something and you've told me, nah, and then I don't do it, and then it fucking pops off and I'm like, fuck.
So what I will say, this seems very similar to 3 weeks ago when everyone was trading out Tom Green.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, he drops 153, 117, and 96 in the 3 weeks that I've owned him.
Yeah.
It just screams that. So I don't hate it.
He's 477K. It's basically a sideways.
Yeah.
So anyway, go back to the normal run sheet. Tim Taranto, 584K, 104 average, 0.9% owned. So ultra POD, 119 break even. And he's had 119 three-round average. Dude, I think, has he only dropped below 100 once this year?
No, twice. So in round zero, we had 49 against Gold Coast.
Oh, but we're talking like actual Supercoach rounds.
Yeah, so 92 and 95 he's had against St Kilda and Carlton. I think the St Kilda game is when he did his wrist.
Yeah, and he was injured.
And I'm pretty sure the Carlton game, he was on about 65 at halftime, and then they put a tag onto him and they shackled him. So I can't imagine many teams finding it necessary to tag anyone at Richmond, because we are absolutely in Josh Smiley mode. And
Our Giants, actually, I think the Giants might put Bedford onto him. You know, think about it, because I want a percentage boost. And Richmond have been quite competitive at times, so they might shock the Giants. So, yeah, it won't surprise me if they tag Tim Taranto.
Is that because the Giants don't like playing at the G?
No, they like playing at every ground.
I think if you're looking at an ultra POD, I don't mind Taranto.
Yeah, I was looking at bringing him in last round. The other one that we got, Will Day, 568K, 102 average, 3% owned, 120 break even. He's just been good. Hasn't been like 160 plus good, but he's been good.
Yeah, as you sort of mentioned, it doesn't quite have the ceiling as some of the guys that we've mentioned, but he's had 8 weeks in a row now where he hasn't dropped below 100.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really, really good consistency. And the role's great, obviously. So,
yeah. Now, we'll go to the ruck line. We very rarely go to the ruck line, but because of Gawn. Now, Paddo has written in brackets, I don't condone trading Gawn if you have cover, even if it's Kruger or Jackson. But we're going to discuss some options. Now, you've only put one option in, but the funny thing is you've said juicy matchup this week, but there's also another guy that I think has a juicy matchup, and it's his opponent. So, Nank, Toby Nankovic, okay, Nank the Tank, 647K, 114 average, 1% owned, 93 break even. Man's been on a fucking tear, and I think I posted on Twitter about it maybe a couple of rounds ago or something, and then he last round he was on 100 at halftime. Like, dude's on a fucking tear. Everyone's talking about Tom DeConing. What about Nank the Tank, Paddo?
Yep, I think it's great. As I've mentioned previously, I think there's a risk because he may get put on ice like Tom Lynch has and like Prestia has and all that sort of stuff. But he's the captain, so maybe they will want him out there for that leadership. It only costs you 48 grand from Max Gawn. And if you don't mind, he's got a 5-round average of 134, which is obviously massive. The ruck run home is actually really probably arguably best in the league, I would say. So he's got the Giants this week who have been conceding massive scores to rucks. Then Port Adelaide, which that could be sweet. That could be Soldo, his old sparring mate, but still a very juicy matchup. Then Collingwood, which isn't too bad. Then North Melbourne, St Kilda.
Quickly back to Collingwood. Who the fuck do they have? Because isn't Cameron out?
No, he's playing.
Oh, okay.
And then Hawthorn and Gold Coast, and we don't even know who's going to be rucking for Gold Coast. So
yeah,
the run home is really nice. He has been dominating. He's been tackling like a madman. He's been grabbing the ball out of the ruck and just saying, fuck you, midfielders, I'll just do it myself. Yeah, playing absolutely ridiculous. Currently the second highest averaging ruck in the whole comp, so that's ahead of Grundy, Cherry, English, everyone. And obviously that 3-round or 5-round average, he's in incredible form. And if you do bring him in, he's a great VC or C option as well.
Yeah. Now I'm going to talk about his opponent really quickly. Kieran Briggs, 486K on the nose. Now, he's recently discovered that he's a strong fucker. Like he found out last year when he was ragdolling Tom Hawkins and whatnot, and he's gone out. That first quarter was absolutely fucking pus. And whatever the fuck Kingsley said to him, like, mate, I've seen you bench press more than I can in the freaking gym, go ragdoll the shit cunt. I don't know. Oh, I said the word. Anyway.
Mamma mia.
I know. I said the word. I don't know whether I'll bleep it or keep it in there. Stay tuned. But, yeah, he's ragdolling mofos. So, yeah, I actually don't mind him at 486K if you want to free up some cash.
My problem is, Dano, he's had a pretty light ruck run in the last five, and the one tough matchup he's had, he scored 47 against Grundy. So that's just not good enough, I don't think.
That's your opinion, but we'll see how the rest of the season goes.
I also want to say, Dano, I know there's a bit of an ankle concern, but Tom DeConing is obviously a great option as well. 3-round average of 150. Yeah, you heard me right. And a 5-round of 144. Yep, you also heard me right there. And he's in just 6% of teams. So,
yeah,
obviously a great option. His last five scores are 131, 140, 146, 176, and 128. So he's just breaking Supercoach right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts.
The only problem with that is, and this is what everyone keeps saying, is just the worry that Pitnet will come back, because when Pitnet's in the team, he averages in the 70s.
Right, but Pitnet's healthy.
That's what I mean. Like, do they bring him back 1 week and then he just pumps out a friggin' 40?
Yeah, that's the thing, because if he does have a bit of ankle concern, maybe they will bring in Pitnet just to support him in the ruck, and then obviously that doesn't make it very attractive. So,
Correct. Anyway, we'll move on to the forward line. So, first one, the guy that... Oh, I wish I didn't listen to you. Guy Caldwell, 544K, 96 average, 13%, 52 break-even. Yeah, I'm really shitty. I didn't bring him in at 500K. Oh, yeah. 125 three-round average, Pato. But Parrish does come back. But as we know with Parrish, is when he's about to come back, he gets another injury setback. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you definitely can't keep ignoring what Caldwell's doing. I still have a slight concern about Parrish coming back, because Caldwell was playing that sort of half-forward role and coming in as an extra midfielder. But at the same time, Caldwell's been getting the most CBAs out of anyone at Essendon. That includes Merritt. Three-round average of 125, five-round average of 112. Hopefully he keeps forward status for next year too, by the way, Dano, but we'll get to that in a future episode. 13% of teams as well, which is pretty low. We're in that sort of POD territory.
Yeah.
It's his last three that have been really good. I will add to that, though, Dano. The last three games have actually been really good midfield matchups, and that's West Coast, Geelong, and Collingwood. They've conceded big scores all year. So just something to keep in mind. He does have some tougher midfield matchups coming up, including... Well, Melbourne's not too bad of a matchup this week, and Adelaide's pretty good, but then he's got St Kilda who do tag, Freo who tag a little bit, Gold Coast don't tag at all, but then Sydney and Brisbane. So his last two, which are Supercoach finals, are really tough matchups. But, yeah, I still worry about Parrish, but you can't keep ignoring what Caldwell's doing.
Yeah. Dylan Moore, 532K, 96 average, 8% owned, 68 break even. His scoring's been good. He has a really good run home for forwards, Pato.
He does, yeah, including Richmond and North in the last two. So That's why I'd probably put Moore ahead of Caldwell, which might sound controversial, but just with everything that could happen. I think to add as well, Hawthorn are in that group of teams that are on the same fucking points and could finish anywhere from 4th to 14th. So Hawthorn are going to be in really competitive games on the run home. They're going to need to win games. And I actually think they'll make the 8, and I think Dylan Moore will be a big part of that. So I think he's a really great option.
Yeah. Now, the next two we kind of just threw in at the end, because – having a look, the DPPs have been changed and whatnot. And there was one name that I was just like, what the fuck, you're a forward? And then there was another bloke that Paddo was like, oh, yeah, role change, could be permanent, might not be. So we chucked them both in. So we'll start with Matheus Filippou at 218K. Won't even go into his fucking average and whatnot. He's in 1% of teams, though, and minus 4 break even. So he came in for Windhager and got 112 on the weekend, Paddo. Now, we know... his draft year, he was drafted intended to be a mid. Did then obviously he's been playing up forward because there was a need up forward for St Kilda, but like his midfield stats as a junior were really good. So do you think that this could continue? Do you reckon he'll keep playing in the midfield, or do you reckon it was just a one-off?
So he's a top 10 pick, Dano, and he was thrown into the midfield in the second half once Windhager had gone down. And you could argue that he almost won them the game in their surprise win against Sydney. That's how good he was in that game. I don't think they can take him out of the midfield. I think they'd be crazy to. I think they saw what he can do. Like, you look at his scoring this year prior to him getting dropped. Oh. Like, he's had some disgusting scores. But that's playing up forward. That's not his role. He's a midfielder.
Yeah.
And I think hopefully Ross Lyon can now see that. I don't know if I would bring him in as an F6. I think that's a little bit crazy. But at 218K, if you are sitting on a Hugo Garcia type, who doesn't seem to ever be getting a game again under Ross Lyon, maybe you just sideways him to Filippo to cover Heaney and or Rankin for this week. And I don't hate that.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Now, the other one, the one that I was looking at is because he's got forward mid status and just, look, it's Mason Wood, and everyone will be like, ew, Mason Wood, ew, brother, ew. He's 477K, mid forward, 85 average, 0.3% owned and 118 break even. But you take away that game where he got injured, like he didn't get injured, he like broke something. Break like a leg or an arm or some shit. Pretty bad. He got an 8 for the game because he broke it early in the first quarter. He actually averages 93. Now, he's had a bit of a, like, a throw. He's been thrown around. And I was looking at his heat maps, and he's still playing up the wing and whatnot, but it looks like he's starting forward more. And so now he's got forward status. And looking at, like, his AFL fantasy and even his disposals, he's generally up there every week. And I know we're not playing AFL fantasy, but Supercoach side of things, forward averaging 93, Paddo, that has the potential to pop off. And in his next two games, he's going up against a team that he absolutely fucking flogs every time, which is West Coast. Got a 140 against him this year. I actually don't mind looking at Mason Wood. What are your thoughts?
No.
That means I have to trade him in now.
He did. He did average 93 last year, which wasn't horrible, and had some really nice games. I don't think you can go here, though. I think there's better options that are probably cheaper, including Luke Jackson slightly more. No, he's less. Luke Jackson is cheaper than Mason Wood, don't know, if you don't have him. Cozzy Pickett is 400K, so is Shea Bolden. I think you take a flyer on someone like that for cheaper before you go at someone like Mason Wood.
Okay. All good. Paddo has also put down bonus rookie price, Tom Fullerton. 123K forward, probably comes in and rucks for Gorn while he misses bench option or cover. Summed it up for you, your own words.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. All right, question time, Paddo. We actually have a question time this week.
We do.
Do you want to start on X or would you like to start on Facebook?
I've just opened X on my phone, so let's start with that.
Yeah, okay, cool. You're going to have to read out the ones on the X, and I'll read out the ones on Face Space.
So, first question comes from Scobie. And that is, when and how will Dano incorporate me into his next hit single?
Wait for the next drop, Scobes. That's all I'll say.
There's a Scobie Bryant reference in there.
What's the next question?
It comes from Josh. He's actually got a couple of questions.
Yep.
So first of all, we'll say, because I was messaging Josh during last week. So he's ranked 380th, which is obviously really, really good. So he wants to try and stay a bit aggressive. So his first question is, with Rankin out for 3+, this is obviously before we knew his suspension, is it worth trading him to Jackson, who will cover Gorn and then be F6, and that leaves him with two trades?
Okay.
And with the Gorn news, he's then updated his question. This would leave him with one trade for the rest of the year. He's doing Max Gorn and Isaac Rankin to Tristan Cherry and Josh Dunkley.
Oh. Did he post a picture of his team?
I'm just going to look up his team from last week when he sent it to me.
Just want to know if he's got Butters.
He has Butters, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, he's got Rosie as well.
Yeah, okay. Cherry and... I feel like that you're better off... Like, Cherry's, what, 600K now?
Can I say it again? You cut out.
Cherry's about, what, 600K now?
603.
Yeah, I reckon you're better off. Fucking, how much is Tom De Koning?
Well, if he does Tom De Koning, he'd have to get a cheaper mid.
That's what I mean. I honestly, Dunkley's on a little bit of a tear, but I reckon he's about to run out. I reckon you're better off.
He's got a really nice matchup this week.
I reckon you're better off going with one of the other midfielders and getting Tom De Koning in. Like, fuck.
Like Tom a Cripps and De Koning?
Fuck yeah, something like Cripps and De Koning or fuck, who else was it? Like even a Tim Taranto, if you want to be fucking aggressive, Tim Taranto's an aggressive play, but again, I reckon he'll get tagged this weekend. There is another bloke that I'm surprised you didn't put on the run sheet. But then again, I'm not surprised. What about Adam Treloar? No,
you want to ruin Josh's season.
Why? You finally could, like, dude popped a 129. He's got a 142 break even, though. But Adam Treloar is 571K.
He is.
He likes a bit of Carlton.
But he's 31 years old and hasn't played a full season since 2019.
Guess
and
what?
He's played every game so far this year. He's due a soft tissue injury, and you know
anyone can fucking get injured. Tristan Cherry could get injured.
Yes, but some people get injured more than often than others.
If he wants to be aggressive, I say go Adam Treloar and Tom DeConing. You say what you think.
But I don't hate it because it's a bit PO as well, and that's how you're going to get into that sort of top 100.
Oh, fuck. Both are like Adam Treloar's 2.5% owned. It's fucking ridiculous. And he's going to go down in price again, probably. Oh, fuck. Now I'm convincing myself to try and get Adam Treloar.
You used to start him every year, didn't it?
I know. I did. Then he betrayed me. Keep going.
What about Nankervis instead of DeConing?
You just spoke about... You just spoke about someone not playing a full year and they've played every game, and then you're talking about bringing in someone who you think is going to get rested. Fucking hell. But I don't mind it.
I mean, if you're going to... Yeah, you talk about that move to get you into the top 100, that like is something like that. Yeah. I don't know if Cherry moves the needle enough.
I think, honestly, in such a good position to try a risk... Fuck, man, if it works out, you could fucking win the whole thing. If it doesn't work out, no one's going to remember that you finished, instead of 380, 770.
Yeah, I'd rather have a 100 and end up, yeah, having it cost 500 spots. But the difference between 380 and 700 or 1,000, like, no, as you said, no one will remember that, but, like, have a swing.
Yeah, have a fucking go.
Have a swing. Do something a bit different. Don't look at Dunkley. I don't think that's great value at 630K. Could have more POD midfielder.
Treloar is getting so slept on. It's fucked.
You know why he's getting slept on.
He's a little stud. Anyway, what's the next question, Paddo?
I think that was it for X.
We'll go to fucking Facebook. Lloydie said, first part of it. Is Luke Ryan a fake primo again, Paddo?
I actually think he is now. I think he is.
I cursed him.
Because, yeah, he was called out for stat padding, and he doesn't run the ball as much as he used to now. And I got, like, a good look at it on the weekend because I went to the game in Perth. Very wet night in Perth. And he was very much a leader still in defence, as you would expect from Luke Ryan, because he is an older statesman of the game and that team. But he was directing people to kick it over his head, like to switch it to someone else, rather than calling for it in the square and then making the switch himself, which were those sort of cheap plus six, plus eights that he was getting earlier on in the season. So I think he wasn't a fake primo at the start of the year, but I think he's turned into a fake primo now with that slight change in role or whatever.
Yeah. He also then goes, I think I'm going to have to trade Gorn. Is Nank a good option as a POD ruck? I reckon he has a good run home. Well, Pato's already answered that. The answer is yes. Yeah. Move on then.
Yeah, Pato. If you don't have cover, I think Nank is a great option.
Yeah. Liam says, thinking of doing these trades would leave me with six trades. I know Dowling still has money to make, but it's the only way I can get Miller and Oliver out of my team. So the trades are trading out.
But Liam still has a boost. That is fucking wild.
That's beautiful. I was trying to hold my boost till this time, but then I got greedy. Yeah.
So, I think they're great trades.
Yeah. So he's trading out Dowling, Miller and Oliver, and trading in McKercher, Humphreys and Rosie.
I can't argue with
that. Downgrade, but anyway. Right. Who cares? As long as the points are there. All right, we'll move on.
Yep.
Tate asks, Rankin and Miller to Caldwell and Rosie, yes or no?
I have concerns about Caldwell, but yes.
Well, he already has
Miller to Rosie. More. Yeah, already has more?
Yeah, he had more and Rankin, and now he has to trade Rankin. So
Give me more. Give me more.
Yeah. So I don't mind Caldwell and Rosie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good.
Yep. Okay, Luke. Oh, fucking Luke. If you have Gorn, Heaney, Took, Rankin, just ghost now or just die now.
No, question. Don't ghost. See what happens. Surely you got some sort of a bench cover.
Yeah. Okay. Nerds for Life Supercoaches Peter says, how do I get all my boosts back?
You got to get on your knees to someone at Supercoach HQ and maybe you'll get one back.
Supercoach Platinum subscribers.
That's a mouthful.
Oh, Jesus. Jason says, is Caldwell a trap moving forward, or is he going to be the next best after Flanders, Heaney, Zorko, and Jackson? Plus, have more, but thinking of trading Gorn and swinging Jackson, so need a forward. Would Parrish or Setterfield coming back push him back to a 70 to 80 average? I forgot about Setterfield.
I'm pretty sure, I'm just fact-checking myself, but I'm pretty sure, yeah, Setterfield's healthy and being so Caldwell is currently in the team over Setterfield. So is fucking your old mate, Dylan Shield, but he hasn't been getting CBAs.
He played good on the weekend, though.
Yeah, so he's not being prioritised in the midfield. So I think it's a very obvious show of faith to Caldwell that he is in that main group. He could become a trap, but I think until Parrish is back, I think it's great. And he could average like a proper mid. So in the forward line, that's fantastic.
Trying to work out why Setterfield's not in the team, because he was actually scoring really fucking good.
I think he's averaging about 105 or something.
107 and a 107.5. He went 119, 126, and then he got injured against Port for the 73. And then he came back in round 13 for an 111 and hasn't played since.
Yeah.
I think he must have got injured again and then is healthy but hasn't come back. But anyway. Well, what do we think? So we just said Caldwell trap moving forward, you reckon? I think he'll be okay.
No, I bring him in. I think it'd be okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're not called the Supercoach co-captains for nothing. Every week we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest. So we are going into round 18, Friday night footy. Friday night footy. Collingwood versus Geelong at the MCG. And no, it is not Geelong's home game. Who you got, Pato?
So I just want to say, targeting Collingwood for my VC or C. Zach Merritt for 145 did me well last round. Have him. Tom Stewart's a great VC.
So no to Dacos, who apparently is leading the Brownlow, even though I don't have him leading the Brownlow.
Dacos is number two. Did drop 129 against them last year in round one. However, I get the sense that he'll get the tag. He'll get O'Connor or Atkins or someone, and I think they'll clamp him. So if I was to choose between the two, I think Stewart's number one. Dacos isn't a horrible fallback option because it's just your VC. So it might be worth the risk, but there are some pretty nice matchups this week.
Can I just give a shout-out to Mitch Hardy, who keeps on fucking killing the VFL for Geelong and still can't get a game? 38 disposals, 7 clearances, 2 goals on the weekend. Fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous. Watch it in the next minute he debuts, but he's the sub, and I'll be like, why? Oh, shit. Yeah, but yeah, all I can see is there is one other person that could VC if you've got him as a POD. Jack Crisp. I don't mind me some Jack Crisp. He's been playing.
Not Tom DeConing?
Well, Tom DeConing plays for Carlton, so no. I mean, Sam.
Isn't that Sam?
No, Sam plays for Geelong.
Oh, that one.
Fuck. They look the same.
They do look similar.
Well, are they twins or not? Or are they like 1 year difference?
No, they're twins.
Yeah, fucking thought so. Okay, so yeah, we'll move on anyway from that game. Saturday, Hawthorn versus Fremantle at University of Tasmania Stadium. Who you got, Fado?
I like Sarong for a rebound game.
Sorry, was that Sarong? It just cut out for a section there.
Yeah, Caleb Sarong.
Yeah, don't mind, don't mind. Luke Jackson solo rucking.
Yeah, don't hate it. I probably wouldn't condone him for the VC, though. I think you just field him, obviously, and then you just see what he gets. I don't think he's quite VC. He's a little bit up and down, even in that mid-roll. But Caleb Sarong's last game against Hawthorn was a 140. I think University of Tasmania Stadium actually suits him a little bit more. There's a bit less room to move around. He's an inside ball. So I don't mind Caleb Sarong.
Yeah. I'll just note that there's a game played at the same time. So the Hawthorn Freo game's at 145, same time as Sydney and North Melbourne at the SCG. They're also 145. So if you are going to VC, make sure that your loop's not in the same game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that. That's why Livingston's so great.
Yeah. Will Day? Don't mind a Will Day?
Nah.
Nah? Okay. Move on to the same game.
Sicily could be an interesting option.
Yeah, Sicily. If he plays. Yeah. I'll go to Sydney.
But I think the next game's on.
Well, same time. Sydney versus North. SCG Grundy.
Yeah.
SCG Grundy.
Could be my...
The only problem is his hit-outs to advantage. Are they going to get sharked by Heaney? Oh, wait. Oh.
Hey?
As I said, SCG Grundy... So his hit-outs are going to get sharked by Heaney. Oh, wait. Oh.
What a horrible replacement for Isaac Heaney. They've just got Chad Warner and fuck Errol Goulden that can go in there.
Isn't Callum Mills back?
Yeah, Mills is playing this week.
Fuck.
There's your VC.
Straight into the midfield.
Heaney's a good VC.
Would you have the biggest kahunas on the planet to trade Callum Mills in?
Surely not.
What the? I just want to check his price.
490k. He's 490k.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. This is why we hold our trades. See, here we go.
Imagine he's somehow in 182 teams.
Imagine if he comes out, right? Everyone's used up all their trades and he scores like 160, 150, 170 and all that. And we have our trades and we go, oh, yeah, 490k. Good, thanks.
Would it shock you?
It actually wouldn't shock me. Anyway, move on. Game after, Western Bulldogs versus Carlton. Adam fucking Treloar.
I like Tim English in this one.
Against the Deconing.
I also like Deconing.
Yeah, I think
they're both going to go big.
Adam Treloar, Patrick Cripps, Marcus Bontempelli. Got a fair Sam few Hull. In this game. Holy shit.
So, Western Bulldogs. They're two 160-plus scores against midfielders. But as and Rosie both went over 160. So Sam Walsh and Cripps, I think, are both pretty decent options.
Yeah. Move on.
Sure.
Yeah. Adelaide versus St Kilda, 7:30 p.m. And on at the same time is Melbourne versus Essendon at 7:30 p.m. So first one, Adelaide versus St Kilda.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked. I don't like any of them.
Yeah,
I would like to say, though, Rory Led's kind of back.
He's back playing midfield, though. Could Jack Sinclair have a big game?
Well, it depends. If Philippou is named in the middle, right, I would honestly chuck something on Jack Sinclair.
So
if they bring Paddy Dow in and have Philip, that's the way I'm thinking.
Yeah, I might even do that myself. So if Dowies comes in and Philippou gets named in the midfield, and even Henry's been playing a bit of midfield as well. If they get named in the midfield and Sinclair at halfback, it could even be worth a cheeky VC there.
Yeah. So Carlton Essendon? Oh, no, sorry, Melbourne Essendon? Fuck.
Caldwell? Ridley?
Merritt,
I think, might get tagged.
To be honest, I don't think it matters. I saw his work rate off the ball, man. Fucking hell. Underrated as shit.
Yeah, I think Merritt and Ridley are both pretty nice options there.
Yeah. Fuck Melbourne off. Sunday, Gold Coast versus Port Adelaide. So basically first on the ladder versus sixth. Because they play like premiership winners at home. And then play like wooden spooners away.
Can I say Matt Rowell?
Honestly, I don't mind it. I reckon he's going to pop off. It's one of those calls where we said the same with Green, hold Green, whatnot. I just see this being a blessing in disguise for Matt Rowell, and he's going to come out and kill it. And it won't surprise me if he comes out with a 150 odd.
I traded Green in when everyone was trading him out. Like, I think Matt Rowell, I think, is a nice VC option. Maybe not C, but there's some really great options in the next two games. You could probably see it. VC it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, Butters, if you got Butters.
Yeah. Yeah. Butters or Rosie, either or.
Yep.
Because, yeah, Gold Coast just refused to tag.
Yeah. By the way, did you know that Jason Horne-Francis is number four in the competition for effective kicks inside 50?
Do you know he's not super coach relevant?
Yes, he is. Fuck. You know what was great? When I had this loophole option of having a primo on the bench and like could loop him on, and then fucking Sean Manor comes along and ruins my loophole plans. Can't complain too much, though. He might be my saving grace, but just hurts. Anyway, moving on. Richmond versus the Giants.
Whitfield, Nankervis, and Tom Green are all really great options here. Yeah. The only thing, I wouldn't captain Tom Green just because we saw Jack Graham go to Sarong on the weekend. That seems like a Tom Green matchup to me if they're going to tag again. So I would avoid that one. But I think Whitfield and who's the other one I said? And Nankervis are both great options.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd avoid just putting the C on Tim Taranto because I reckon he'll get tagged.
No one has Tim Taranto.
A few teams do. West Coast versus Brisbane is the last game of the round, 4:40 p.m. on a Sunday. Fucking good, thanks. Chucky Neal. This is where I reckon Chucky Neal makes a race for another fucking Brownlow. For the big 180 last week, I reckon he goes again.
It wouldn't shock me. I just want to say, though, he doesn't have a great history at Optus Stadium.
Interesting.
He does have a good record against West Coast.
He does have a good record against West Coast, but not at Optus.
Yeah, so, well, the last three games have all been in Brisbane between those two teams, and he's gone nuts. So 142, 123, 133. 2020 was obviously in Brisbane as well. I can't see the data before then. I think they try and do something with Lachie Neal. That's why I think the better option might be Josh Dunkley.
Lachie Neal.
I'm going to say Dunkley. People might sleep on, Dano.
Yeah.
Is Dane Zorko.
Oh, yeah, true. Hey, Pato, remember we used to do the blender challenges?
Oh, my. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not bring them back.
Let's not. I don't know why you brought it up.
Well, I said, what are we wagering? I made me remember the blender challenge.
Not a blender challenge.
Fuck me. Ooh. Got to wager something. We'll figure something out. Anyway, I reckon, Neil, you reckon Dunkley, ding, ding, ding. Let's go. Pato, what is your ex formerly known as Twitter handle?
It's at PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. Just want to casually say, because we haven't mentioned it in a while, the Podmasters League. Fucking who's on top, Pato? Who's on top?
Don't know.
Two games clear, baby. Let's go. It's you. Yeah, it's me. making a run for that. I don't know if it's the first year they're doing it or it's the first year we got invited. Like, honestly, I got no idea. But anyway, top in the first season. Let's get minor premiers and let's get the fucking premiers. Yeah, check us out on Facebook as well, Supercoach Co-Captains. We post our podcasts on fucking various different platforms and we always post them up on there and Twitter. So, or X. So, yeah, anyway, from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is us signing
the fuck off.